Welcome to Tech It to the Limit, the humorous and surprisingly informative podcast that makes digital innovation in healthcare as entertaining as it is relevant. I'm Sarah Harper.
And I'm Elliot Wilson. And we're here to pull back the curtain on the world of digital transformation in healthcare.
Don't worry, you don't need a medical degree to join in on the fun. Just a sense of humor and a penchant for all things health tech.
So buckle up, folks. It's time to
Tech It to the Limit.
What's up, Elliot?
What's up, Sarah? Oh my gosh, it's episode 2, season 2.
So excited to see you again, friend.
As always, it's a pleasure to see your face. In fact, I'm going to move your screen right over here so I can see you a little better.
Nice.
In this Zoom culture in which we live.
Pretty amazing, though.
It is so great to be back with you here again on Tech It to the Limit, and welcome everybody back to join us. It is our May episode, and we're so delighted to be here with you. We've got a great show for today. We have a theme of generations today. And Sarah, do you mind indulging me for a moment as to why we're going through this?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like everywhere I turn, big, big, giant groups of people, aka generations, are not getting along.
What?
Well, I mean, it's not like it's a bloodbath.
I just had my parents over for dinner and can confirm.
Yeah, but did you get like a passive-aggressive meme from someone on the way home? Anyway.
It's so true. Well, I mean, I've been doing a lot of travel recently for work, and I recently found myself out in a health system in one of the Midwest states, and I was there in the lobby of a courtyard, and I started to strike up a conversation with a couple of guys that were manning the bar, and they were very clearly not of my generation. I'm sad to say that they were much younger than us.
Wait. What generation are you from again?
I'm a millennial, an elder millennial at that, and proud of it.
Awesome. Same here.
I believe you share that moniker with me, yes?
I think that's why we get along so well.
I think so. So there I am, and these two Gen Zers are behind the counter, and we're having this great conversation about the differences between generations. And shortly thereafter, some folks came in that were deep, deep Gen Xers. Like, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your kids are, Gen Xers, that get together regularly from all across the country and just happen to be in this bar. And it was really cool. And we kind of all started talking about the differences between Gen Z, millennials, and Gen Xers. And over walks this guy who is clearly a boomer. And we're all like, oh boy, here comes the boomers, right? And he sits down and he is a delight. And we're having a great conversation about his experiences as, you know, being a baby boomer. Turns out this guy, are you ready for this? This guy is Luke Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard, as in like the Duke brothers. I know. And like the Gen Z guys behind the bar, they had no clue who this guy was.
Right.
One of them had to call his dad, and the dad was like, you better take a picture. So anyway, it got me thinking about generational things. I think it's meaningful because we're seeing this generational shift in leadership in healthcare. And frankly, it's not just in our industry, but it's, you know, in all industries going on right now. I think that's just a function of time. But we're also seeing this at a more macro level. We're seeing this play out in our national politics. Mm. We're seeing the clash of generations on student campuses right now. Mm. And we're seeing it play out slowly at the presidential level too, as two octogenarians go head to head this coming November. So anyway, we wanted to talk about generations, and so we decided we were going to start that by bringing back one of our favorite segments, the Health Tech Herald.
Awesome. So just to remind you listeners, what is Health Tech Herald? Elliot and I go out and read some scientific journal articles with a nice glass of Cabernet in front of the fire with our PJs, which is what elder millennials enjoy doing on a Saturday evening. And we bring them back to the show to share with each other and to share with you. So we read those articles and we distill down our top two nuggets from each read. And then we'll post the link to the journal article in the show notes for you all to indulge by the fire with your own glass of Cabernet if you happen to be like us. So the first article that I read around this theme of generational differences, and remember, we're kind of looking at, we're approaching this conversation from the lens of health tech, right? So the first article that I read was called Age Differences in the Use of Health Information Technology Among Adults in the United States. And this was an analysis of the Health Information National Trends Survey. It was an article published in 2024. So dare I say it's a little bit of older data, but still relevant. I forgot to mention too, it's from the Journal of Aging and Health. So my top two takeaways from reading this article were that older adults, which are defined in this study as 65 years of age or older, are less likely than everyone else who's younger than they are to own health information technology or HIT devices and use them for healthcare decision making. This was attenuated. That word came from the article. I just love it so much. It just rolls off the tongue. It was attenuated by HIT ownership. So if you own a device, you're actually more likely to use it for healthcare decision making. Shocking, I know.
No, I'm so surprised.
Yeah, so surprised. Which suggests that not having access to technology may limit engagement with health information technology by the part of older adults. So again, if you don't have a device, how the heck are you supposed to engage with the products and services that are being designed for you, right?
And they came up with this in 2021. Way back in 2021.
Right. So we're a little bit slow on the uptake here, folks. Like a research translation to practice, still sadly moving at a glacial pace. The other second nugget that I have from the article is that older adults were less likely than their younger counterparts to withhold information from their healthcare providers due to concerns about security or privacy of their medical records, which I found really surprising because you often hear stereotypes in the news media or even in conversation that, you know, older adults are worried about data privacy and so they're not going to engage. But this could actually point towards a growing trust gap between physicians and younger patients. And that's a topic we've actually discussed on this show last season before. So that's my first article. I'll pass the baton to you, or maybe throw the newspaper your way, Elliot, since we were born when we actually received newspapers thrown at our doors, to share your top two nuggets from your article.
Yeah, I think those are fascinating, especially the one about the older adults being less likely than younger adults to withhold their information, because that was actually different than one of the things that I found.
Ah, science, so confounding.
Consensus. So my first article here comes from Springer Nature in 2020, Intergenerational Effects of Technology, Why Millennial Physicians May Be Less at Risk for Burnout Than Baby Boomers. And I thought this was an interesting article. Long story short, the, you know, spoiler alert, the reason is because we're used to technology. We're digital natives versus digital foreigners or digital migrants, I think is what the term they used.
Digital victims.
Digital victims.
Digital standbyers.
That's right. And so you know, millennials have grown up in a world and became used to a world that moves at an ever accelerating pace. And I think so they're more likely to be able to absorb more and more of that burnout that often tends to be exacerbated by the introduction of technology into practice as opposed to relieving it. But just in general, boomers in this article were reported as being less comfortable with digital technology compared to millennials and certainly Gen Z. But I thought this was really kind of interesting is that the part of the reason for that is they had to make decisions about healthcare and healthcare technologies, like leaders, policymakers had to make decisions about healthcare and technology before they were even being used in clinical practice. And this next nugget I thought was just, this blew my mind thinking about this. So HIPAA was written and enacted in 96. Okay, I was 12. You were 12, right? Google.com wasn't a registered domain until 1997. Think about that. HIPAA has been on the books and is still considered like
the gold standard,
pinnacle, the apex data privacy kind of policy out there. And it's older than Google.
Was it written in stone and delivered from a mountaintop next to a burning bush? I mean, come on, people. It's time to update
it. I think
it's
about time for an update in how we go about data governance and privacy practices. But then for the listeners that are interested, this article has a fantastic, and I mean fantastic, sort of table in it. So my nugget is an entire table that goes into the differences between all the different generations, back from the traditionalists, or I guess some people call it the silent generation before the boomers, all the way up to Gen Z, and talks about their defining experience. For us being the dot-com bubble or social media or especially 9/11, for Gen Z, it's climate change and COVID-19, different defining products of their generation, right? Color TV for the boomers, right? Ed Sullivan, Beatles, showing up, et cetera, right? To the Walkman for Gen X, to the iPods for us, Go take a look at this article and read through, even if you just read through that table, it is a fascinating kind of exploration of what shapes the mindset of the different generations.
Thank you for planning my next Saturday night. I cannot wait to go check out this table. And just for the record, as an elder millennial, I did own both a Walkman and an iPod.
Yes. Yes, the iPod Shuffle.
Right, which is way too small.
Too small. Okay. Too small.
Steve Jobs is rolling over in his grave. Oh. All right, so let's transition here. Apologies. My next article was called Older Adults Can Use Technology, keeping in with the theme that I had from my previous article. Why Healthcare Professionals Must Overcome Ageism in Digital Health. And it's from the Journal of Translational Behavioral Medicine. It was published in 2022, so a little bit more recent. And the reason I wanted to dive into this article is because in a lot of my work and in previous projects, I've designed tech specifically for patients. And I'm working with clinicians as co-designers. I have witnessed almost in every single project somebody say, oh, yeah, but like our older patients aren't going to be interested in this, right? So we don't have to worry about their needs. And I'm like, where is the evidence base that is going to counteract that assumption? I need to find it, right? So my top two nuggets from this article, which really ended up being more like six, so I'll fly through them, is that the number of older adults using smartphones increased dramatically from 2013 to 2021. So about 20% in 2013, up to more than 60% in 2021, huge leap. About 90% of older adults own a laptop or a computer and use the internet regularly as of 2022 when this was published. And during COVID-19, the percentage of older adults that engaged with telehealth rose from about 5% to over 20%. So huge leap, right? They are engaging. So what can we as designers of health tech for all patients, including older adults, which is the fastest growing segment, right? Do about it. Well, we can stop being tools. We can invest in education and awareness targeted not only ourselves as designers, but as clinicians who are co-designers for these patients. And we need to dispel the myth that older adults don't use tech and emphasize the unique user needs of an older adult vis-a-vis these products and services. Basically, in short, I'm saying we need to design with inclusivity in mind. And just like our pediatric patients, we don't want to let our older adult patients be an afterthought. We need to design for their unique needs, and we need to provide the necessary wraparound supports for these end users to ensure usability and adoption of these products and services. Mic drop.
Wow. Wow. That was intense. You really care for those boomers. You got a lot of boomer love here.
I feel like I blacked out. What did I say?
Jeez.
I do care. I do care a lot, actually, about designing with inclusivity in mind. So
whether we want to help them or not, we have to. And it's important to design for them to be able to use that tech.
Tell us how you really feel, Elliot.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being so much more cynical than you. I'm so sorry.
All right, what was your next article?
My next article came from actually the World Economic Forum. Not quite the scientific journal, but it's still an interesting article, I thought. It was pulling together a bunch of different data from consumer-centric data from various different studies and kind of putting it into a probably a clickbait article, and I got baited. So it's called How Gen Z Are Reshaping the Healthcare Industry. A couple of things I found here. So unlike the article that you mentioned earlier, right, that has said that older adults were more likely to share than younger generations their data, this article suggests that Gen Z are 2 times as likely as other generations to share their health information with providers outside of their primary care doctor, like health insurers, retail clinics, third-party apps, and other vendors and things like that. And I think that that is indicative of the world in which they grew up, which is constantly asking them for their information, right? Because as people become the product that gets sold, right? As we give our information to be bundled and sold to others to target ads against us or at us to buy things, it's almost a Pavlovian response to just share that data. And so I think this article is kind of indicative of that. So I thought that was an interesting kind of juxtaposition with your other article. But, no surprise here that 66% of Gen Z, compared with 40% of other generations, are using digital tools for all the different wellness, healthcare kind of stuff to monitor their health. Going back to the conversation we had with Dr. G last month, this article also mentioned around 42% of Gen Z respondents to their survey saying they relied on social media to get medical information, compared to only 20% of non-G respondents. And I don't think that number is ever going to go down from here, right? That is where it is. But I think it's also important to note that legitimate news outlets are also moving to social media in
It's a
order
good
to
channel,
meet
right?
that trend, to meet that need there. And so just by saying they're going to social media to get medical information isn't necessarily a bad thing. They could still be going to reputable sources. They are certainly out there. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, to your point, Dr. G described that Cleveland Clinic use case, right? Where how they did a public health campaign and which was very effective. So anyway. Well, that was fascinating, Elliot. I really appreciate your tying it back to Dr. G from the previous episode. And I'm even more excited about our next segment, which is brand new, that we're going to be introducing after the break. So stick around. It's called Not Your Average Focus Group.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
Take It to the Limit is proudly sponsored by PharmaCloud. Because when your job security is less stable than a house of cards, your healthcare shouldn't be. In a world fueled by late-stage capitalism, you know you're in line for a layoff at some point, you just don't know your spot in that line. And when your medication coverage is tied to your employment, that uncertainty can leave you stressed. PharmaCloud was invented to help you feel like more than just a cog in the machine. PharmaCloud isn't just another app. It's your AI-powered, profit-driven sidekick, ensuring you stay medicated even when your employment status is in freefall. PharmaCloud's patented personalized layoff predictor tracks macro and microeconomic trends affecting your specific employer. It knows you're on the chopping block before you do and alerts you to refill your prescription before the axe falls. Because nothing says dystopia like an AI predicting your unemployment. But predicting the inevitable isn't enough, and that's why PharmaCloud created its automated COBRA paperwork filing. PharmaCloud's sophisticated large language model reads through your severance agreements with the precision of 1,000 overworked lawyers, automatically filing the necessary documents to keep you insured. Because who has time for paperwork when you're busy updating your resume? And here's the kicker: automatic switching between CVS and Walgreens. Depending on which insurance provider your new corporate overlords favor, PharmaCloud seamlessly transitions your pharmacy preferences. That way, you're always getting the best deals on your meds, regardless of which megacorporation holds your healthcare hostage. For listeners of Tech It to the Limit, we've got an exclusive deal. Sign up for PharmaCloud with the promo code CORPORATECOG and receive a free one-year premium subscription. Enjoy all the perks of never having to worry about your prescriptions again, at least until your next layoff. Remember, with PharmaCloud, your health is just another asset in your portfolio. It's the little things that keep us sane, and PharmaCloud is here to make sure those little things are managed with the ruthless efficiency even Jack Welch would be proud of.
Side effects of PharmaCloud include a stark realization of the absurdity of our modern healthcare system. Users might experience enhanced financial literacy, a bewildering sense of control over their healthcare, and an ironic appreciation for predictive algorithms. Other side effects could include dry humor, existential musings about capitalism, and a paradoxical sense of empowerment amidst systemic chaos. Consult your inner cynic before use.
PharmaCloud. Generating shareholder wealth, one prescription at a time.
Welcome back, listeners. We hope you enjoyed that message from one of our fake sponsors. Thanks for tuning in to Tech It to the Limit. We're so glad you're here. Even more pumped to introduce this brand new segment called Not Your Average Focus Group. So how we're going to do this, we're going to keep in with the theme of the episode, the generational theme, and we're going to introduce to you a health tech product, fictional, but could be real, that's aimed at solving a particular pain point that many adults face throughout their life. And we're going to describe how each generation may use it, misuse it, or be utterly confused by it. But first, we're going to introduce to you our five stars of this focus group. Kick it off with the boomers, Elliot.
Okay. So for the uninitiated, when we talk about different generations, you know, there's no standard. So we thought we would put some standards around it, at least for the purposes of today's conversation. So we like to be as objective as possible here on Tech It to the Limit. So the first generation, the oldest generation we're going to talk about, apparently we are just going to not even worry about the traditionalists at this point. Our first generation that we're going to talk about is the boomers. You know them, you love them. Boomers come to us from around 1946 to 1964. They are the original I walked uphill both ways. Healthcare, education, and housing was way less expensive for us. They can be found reminiscing about the days when phones were just attached to walls and conversations weren't typed and how you had to get up to change the channel just to be able to watch television, if they even had a television. Who's next?
Thank you, Elliot. So the next generation joining our focus group today is Gen X. Coming into the world between 1965 and 1979, Gen X is the overlooked middle child of generations. I can totally relate to that as a middle child. They are experts at self-sufficiency and probably the last cohort of folks to appreciate the art of a well-curated mixtape, which is not true because elder millennials also remember that. Any complaints about these generational descriptions, folks, I want you to submit to the ChatGPT corporate office.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny. I forgot about Gen X.
No,
I forgot
so
they
sad.
Totally existed.
They're the middle child.
Oh. Well, the next generation up is the greatest generation that ever existed, the millennials, starting in 1980, give or take, going all the way up to 1994. Their official title is Generation Y, but we know them and love them as millennials. They are the pioneers of hashtag activism and might be caught explaining why artisanal coffee and avocado toast is worth the extra $4. All while streaming a documentary on their latest cause du jour.
That sounds like such a great generation. I really want to hang out with them.
They are the best. They have the best music, too.
And the next generation is going to be joining our focus group today. It was born between 1995 and 2009, and they're known as Gen Z. They are fluent in memes, eye rolls that can get stuck, mastering the art of viral trends while simultaneously saving for retirement before their 20th birthday. I really wish I had done that. Mm-hmm. What's the last generation going to be joining us, Elliot?
So the last generation, well, what happens when you get to Z? You got to start over somewhere. And we decided to go back to the Greeks. The next generation is our kids' generation, which is Gen Alpha, born from 2010 to currently right now, all the way out to 2025. So Gen Alpha is growing up with iPads in hand from the womb. It's like they come out, the doctor slaps them and hands them an iPad. Do they do that still anymore? That's such a boomer thing to say. Like, nobody slaps a baby when they come out anymore,
it's
right?
It's part of a test, you know, but I'm not an obstetrician. And for the record, my kids don't have iPads, but keep going.
Well, they're likely to consider physical books or any physical media as vintage collectibles and might just automate their chores if given the right gadgets.
Nice.
And just another kind of note about Gen Alpha, this is something I've noticed about my own kids. These are the kids that will grow up never knowing what it's like to not talk to their house and have their house talk back to
them. Yeah, that's great.
Which I always think is very interesting.
So now that we have our focus group assembled, we're going to introduce the product. Okay, so keep in mind those five individuals sitting in an awkward circle with a facilitator who has a pen and paper. Okay, which is, you know, a health tech podcast. All right, anyway, so meet the Love Bug Buster, your new best friend in the world of modern dating. This isn't just any at-home STI testing kit. With the Love Bug Buster, you can get quick, reliable results in the privacy of your home. Each kit features our unique bug detectors, test strips amusingly shaped like little critters that make testing less daunting and a lot more fun. Plus, our Love Doctor digital app delivers your results confidentially and offers comedic advice on what to do next. Call your girlfriend. No matter your result, the Love Bug Buster is here to help you manage your sexual health with a smile. The Love Bug Buster is not just about detecting unwelcome guests. It's about empowering you with knowledge and keeping things cheeky. All right, so let's kick it off with the boomers.
Keeping things cheeky.
Right? That's amazing.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
How would a boomer react to this product? Use it, misuse it, or be confused by it?
All right, I'm gonna try and channel my parents here. Use it, misuse it, or be confused. So I think the boomers, they're going to kind of approach this with a mix of intrigue and suspicion, right? Why would anyone need an app, right, when you can just go and make an appointment and drive to your doctor's office? Because most of them, they're starting to retire now anyway, right? They've got the time to be able to do that. They need it. Because as they get to the assisted living and nursing homes, guess what happens there?
Lots of fun.
A lot of fun. They get it on in those halls. I think they'd use it eventually. Once they've phoned their kids and how to explain it, how it works, and how do I set up a user profile and have to explain each and every drop down, and then, you know, their kids have to be totally embarrassed by all the things they're now finding out about their parents. They'll misuse it because they're going to print out everything. All the digital results that are in this app, they will try and figure out how to, like, send it to a printer somehow, get it printed out so that they can take it to their doctor's office. Their biggest confusion, though, I think, is trying to figure out why the mascot of this thing looks more like Pope Francis than a healthcare tool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know.
So that's the boomers. That's how I think the boomers go about it. What do you think about Gen X?
Gen X is going to see the Love Bug Buster as an amusing but pragmatic solution to a common problem. They're going to see it as the perfect way to skip the unnecessary and awkward social interaction with the healthcare provider. Much like I would prefer to use an ATM over going to that thing that I think they still call a teller and is rarely ever there. They might be kind of snarky, but, you know, secretly appreciative of the discretion and the efficiency of the tool. The concept of sharing these test results through a secure app might be too much for them to handle, making them a little bit nostalgic for the days of, you know, sealed envelopes and, like, tangible signs of privacy.
Yeah, I think they're going to want like their Netflix DVD to come in an envelope, not streamed over video. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, perfect analogy.
Well, next up would be the millennials. I got the millennials. Good again. We're so great. We're just the best. I think they're going to embrace it. One, we need it. We're at the height of our prime right now. Right?
You're making even me sick right now, dude.
But I think they'll just take to it with open arms. I mean, I think they would be thrilled to avoid various different awkward pharmacy encounters. Like, who wants to stand there in line trying to get an STI test and looking at people who are obviously going to be looking back at you and judging you? They'd use it deliberately and diligently, but I don't think they'd be able to resist the urge to leave reviews and feedback on, like, Google about it. Be like, I just used the Love Buster, and then that's how they get fired from their next job, right?
Which I think is illegal. But it might be how they, like, don't get, nobody swipes right on their profile.
Yeah, for sure. I think, though, how they misuse it, like, they end up being, like, an oversharer. And, like, out on a first date, they're like, okay, what's your Love Bug Buster app profile say about you? And they start like, oversharing on a first date, like, as a conversation starter. I think that would probably be pretty bad for them. I don't think we need to talk about them having a practical expense of an STI kit subscription with their parents, because hopefully they've flown the coop by now.
I mean, elder millennials have, but some of the youngers are still on that Netflix, you know, subscription, right? They're sharing that subscription across a household, air quotes.
Yeah, the password sharing for their STI test.
Well, you know, if you got a boomer dad and a, you know, maybe a boomer or a millennial son, like, let's just, like, go halvesies on this STI Love Bug Buster subscription, shall we, pal?
Yeah, well, you know, save expenses. I mean, that's a very big millennial thing, right?
So, frugality.
You know, that's important. Okay. I mean, you got to work three jobs.
So I'm channeling my younger siblings here, and I'm thinking that Gen Z would find this Love Bug Buster actually perfectly aligned with their digital first lifestyle. Like, they would use the app. It would be seamless. They'd love the fact that it integrates into Apple Health or Google Health or whatever the heck they use. I could see them, like, coming up with some weird competition in their friend groups to have, like, the quickest clean bill of health badge on their profile, where it's, like, actually cool to be open about your STI testing results. They might get confused over the privacy setting thing, which they rarely look at anyway, and accidentally share their results to social media feeds.
Accidentally.
Yeah, sure, right? I mean, you know, on purpose, they want to share it, you know, if it's clean, but if it's, there's some unwanted visitors.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to Gen Alpha, they'd better be in bed and not using this at all.
Like, in bed alone, frankly, with Teddy.
Right, in bed alone. Very much a bed alone. In bed alone.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been a part of this focus group, now that I think about it. Like, they should be excluded.
Yeah, this one is not appropriate for kids under the age of 18.
Yeah.
16 in some states. 12 if you're in Alabama.
We'll give them their free meal voucher and have them sit outside with an iPad. They've been excused.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry. So thanks, Gen Alpha. We'll tell you when you're older.
We'll call your parents and let them know to pick you up. Oh, wait, you already messaged them from your watch. Okay, we're good.
All right. That's true. It's all very true. So let's mix it up this time, Sarah. Let's go through the round again. But this time, let's pick a pain point and talk about how each generation would design a product, or what product would they design to meet that pain point. And let's use a pain point that's super awkward for everybody and nobody really likes.
The great unifier?
Yes. So nobody likes having to drop your drawers when you go to see the doctor. When they come in and they leave you in this cold, sterile room with the fluorescent lights above you sucking your soul, yet are super bright, yet somehow super chilling on your naked skin. It's very vulnerable. You're in fear. No one likes it. And you wish it could be like when you went to the masseuse, when they say, just undress to your comfort level. Well, my comfort level is 3 sweaters and 2 pairs of pants. But no, I have to get naked for my doctor. How would the different generations solve this problem?
Ooh, I love this. I love this problem. Well, I think boomers, you know, not that it wouldn't be a tech forward solution, but it needs to be, you know, simply designed, right? And very intuitive and have large buttons, right? So I think, you know, you just have like a big physical button that they press when the doctor leaves the room, and it actually signals to the doctor outside visually that I'm ready now. My pants are off. Clock's ticking. And maybe it turns on like a discrete heater under the table, or like a blanket drops from the ceiling and you actually can be warm again. And maybe play some like Kenny G on the CD player, you know, like something.
CD player.
Right, yeah. So what about Gen X?
Oh my gosh, I love it. So Gen X, I mean, if they even end up getting to the doctor, I think that they would probably design something that makes the vibe ready to go for them. So some kind of gadget that kind of sits on the wall and like creates some like calming scenes, or sprays out some kind of smell from their childhood when they could ride their rusty bikes down the street and nobody would bother them, kind of thing. Something that brings them back to their moments of joy and freedom that they had when they were still young, before, you know, technology took over and destroyed the world for them. I think it probably has some kind of like virtual assistant that kind of keeps them entertained by offering some witty banter back and forth with them, maybe some inappropriate pop culture references that no longer hold up in today's world from back in like the 70s and 80s. I think that's kind of what I would help them out. Maybe the voice is like really suspiciously sounds like Winona Ryder. That's the kind of feeling I'm getting for like the device to solve this issue.
I love it. So it's like a distracto solution, right? It doesn't even address the root cause. It's just like numb the situation for me. I love it.
Yes.
It makes me look cool.
I think that's right. I think that's right. Gen X needs to be numb.
Yeah. Maybe a flannel shirt would drop from the ceiling that they'd tie around their waist, you know? Okay, so millennials, you know, I know how much you love them. Us, I should say us. They're gonna invent something really cool, like a wearable, like a styling, like, you know, player's ball type of robe that heats up on command. It can connect to your smartphone. You can leave instant feedback on the punctuality of your doctor's return through an app. It's just gonna be. Like, oh, they'll have like their own hashtag associated with the product, not frozen, just chosen, or something horrible like that. So yeah, you know, it'll be an immediately tech forward yet sort of unnecessarily public experience for the rest of us.
God, that is unnecessarily public. I think that's a millennial garage band.
Yeah, nice. I love it. They have their own YouTube channel, of course.
Of course they do.
What about Gen Z?
Well, Gen Z is going to introduce a brand new app. It's going to be called TikTok.
Yes.
And it's an app that immediately starts a countdown when the doctor leaves the room, right? And it turns it into a competitive game across all of the patients in the entire like office suite. Like, who's waiting the longest? How fast did we able to get out of all your clothes? You can like unlock achievements like didn't touch the tongue depressors, like, you know, achievement unlocked.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Exactly, right? But then it automatically publishes the stats about the doc out to, I'm thinking like out to ZocDoc.
Like a Jumbotron? Oh, okay. In the waiting room?
Something out to there, like where it's pitting the doctors against each other, aww, right? Because like publicly shaming is very much a Gen Z thing, I feel like. And calling out bad behavior, like this doc made me last 30 minutes sitting here butt naked. But through the gamification, you'll get things like free coffee if you had like a really long wait. And there will be QR codes everywhere, just everywhere. Every wall,
QR code
wallpaper in the waiting room. Exactly. And each QR code takes you to something special, you know, kind of choose your own adventure thing. That's what Gen Z is doing.
I'm feeling real bad for these doctors right now. I feel like it's not going to solve the physician shortage problem, all these products. But anyway, I digress. Gen Alpha, how are they going to react to this situation? What are they going to come up with to solve this pain point? I mean, my daughter's really into robotics. So I think they're going to invent some type of robotic solution, RoboDoc, Junior, whatever, like a mini little bot that activates when they're left alone because they don't like being left alone, right? I mean, heaven forbid.
God, oh, tell me about
it. It's going to have, a video projector on it. So much like the Gen X solution where it was like, let's solve this problem through distraction. Project my favorite YouTube challenges right in front of my face. Maybe we can have like a trivia game to keep me engaged. And, just like comfort items. Kids love comfort items. So it's going to dispense like out of its front, like a warm, cuddly bear, some heated blanket.
Squishmallow.
Thank you. While they wait for the human to reappear. And hopefully their parent is in the room with them, but you never know, yeah. Right? I mean, the world moves fast.
Yeah, for sure. My pediatrician, he's a great pediatrician. One thing that he goes, whenever he's doing an exam of my daughter, or both my daughters, and he's checking her for her more private areas, he says, I'm only doing this because your dad is in the room with you.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he tells her that every single time. Mm. And I think it's such an important message for her to receive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just think that's really cool. Anyway, apropos of nothing. So there it is, folks. You've got the pain point. You've got how the different generations would view them. We want to know what you think. We're going to put this out on social media, on LinkedIn. We're going to ask for your vote as to what generation designed the best device, app, robotic thing, whatever, wearable, whatever, to solve the problem of feeling too vulnerable in the doctor's office. You vote and tell us what you think.
Can't vote for your own generation.
Yes. You have. Oh, wait, really? I can't vote for the millennials? Get out of here. So thanks for going down that generational odyssey with us. We really enjoyed it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the future of senior healthcare with the Holler Health Hub, the only device that lets you manage your health by just yelling at it. Tired of pecking at screens to log your daily blood sugar? Just holler, "Hey, my sugar's higher than a kite today. Got any hot tips?" Need to book that colonoscopy but hate phone calls laden with endless questions about your medical history? Grab your megaphone and holler, "Hey, book my dreaded scope, but don't forget, I didn't retire to wake up early. Make it an afternoon appointment." Confused by your doctor's note? Holler for a translation. "Hey, what on earth does presbycusis mean? And turn up the volume when you respond to me. I can't hear a darn thing you're saying." Need to refill your prescription for Viagra, but don't want to set off the town gossip mill? Holler for drone delivery. "Hey, I need to pay a visit to Dr. V. Stat." From rumor-free refills to decoded doctor jargon, the Holler Health Hub doesn't just listen, it really understands your struggle. So ditch the tiny buttons, minuscule font, confusing apps, and endlessly impersonal telephone triage questions. With Holler Health Hub, managing your healthcare is as easy as talking to your plants. Except this gadget talks back, and with sass. Visit hollaback.y'all today and see how Holler Health Hub can get you to actually use health tech. Enter the promo code ThisIsNotASCAM at checkout for a complimentary megaphone. Better health is only shouting distance away.
Well, welcome back, listeners. That was so much fun. A generational odyssey for the ages. No pun intended.
Nah, nice one.
So, right? I think that pun humor is a generational thing. I think only certain generations enjoy it. I think Gen Z hates it. Millennials love it. Mm. I think traditionalists love it. I think boomers hate it.
Mm.
I don't think anybody really interested in what Gen X thinks about it.
Gen Alpha loves it.
Gen Alpha loves it too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it all depends on what generation you're in. Well, anyway, thank you for spending the time with us, listeners. We had a blast. Hope you did as well. Want to give you a heads up about our next guest coming next month. We are so excited to have Dr. Jesse Ehrenfeld, the president of the American Medical Association. He will be just finishing up his tenure and his presidency with the AMA. And we are just totally excited to have a conversation with him. It's going to be for our June podcast. So we'll be talking everything from physician burnout to AI to Pride Month to his time at the AMA. So excited to have him on the pod. So please join us for next month. Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, review us wherever you pod. And if you liked us, tell a friend. If you didn't like us, tell an enemy. But for goodness sake, please just tell someone. So Sarah, send us off with our health tech haiku for the month.
Awesome. So in keeping with the theme today, our haiku focuses on a typical older adult patient, since we're going to try to bust that ageism myth in health tech. So here we go. Aged yet adept. Keen. He books his next checkup online. Old dog, new tech tricks.
Yes, I love it.
The crowd
That's so
goes
great.
Wild. There's boomers storming the field. They're finally heard in health tech. Okay, sorry.
All right, well, that's it. Thank you, folks. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Tech It to the Limit is produced by Sarah Harper
and Elliot Wilson in consultation with ChatGPT.
Because they are masochists and also don't have any sponsors.
Yet. Music was composed by the world-famous court minstrel Evan O'Donovan.
To consume more hilarious and informative content about digital transformation in healthcare, visit us online at techittothelimit.fun.
And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and across the event horizon. See you next time on
Tech It to the Limit.